From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Jake Skorheim. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. Thank you guys for texting. Also on the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line, 888-973. That's where we're at on the radio dial, 5476. That spells Cairo on your rotary dial phone, which is what everybody uses these days. I got Matt Butler with me. I got Lisa Brooks with me. Lisa, you were just telling us something fun that I didn't realize was going on.
It's spring.
It's spring.
Woo-hoo.
And it literally just turned spring, right? At 8:06?
Yes, the equinox has happened just a moment ago.
70 seconds ago.
Yeah.
It turned into spring. You know what? It feels a little warmer.
A little bit.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. There's that breeze.
Maybe just in my spirit, but it does feel warmer. I cannot get enough of the good weather. I love it. I feel like I've never been a person who takes drugs, but I imagine this is what people who do drugs feel like.
Yeah.
They probably just feel great all the time, right? Isn't that what
depends on the drug.
Well, for like maybe I'll say this. I don't think people on drugs feel great all the time. In fact, they look like they feel awful. So don't do drugs. But I imagine this is the feeling that they're chasing.
Sure.
It's just a feel good, right?
The rush of the endorphins,
yes, which I'm getting a ton of right now because the weather has been really nice. I don't think it's supposed to be nice for a few days again, but it has been warmer. I'm loving it. I'm wearing short sleeves today,
yeah,
which is great.
You got a little sunburn on your nose, I'm noticing.
Well, that's the booze. No, I'm just kidding. It's not. I don't know. Maybe it is. I'm not supposed to say that on the radio. Let's see here. We got the news roundup, so we're going to get to that in just a second. But before we get to the news roundup, in honor of spring, I have a trivia clip for you, Lisa.
Okay.
Like I said earlier, this one was really, really hard because it's very obscure and nobody in the text line got it. Not a single person. So that's how hard this one was. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Don't look at Matt. Don't let him give you any clues.
Okay.
This is a tough one. Good luck. And also, this is in honor of spring. I don't know how this is in honor of spring, but it's in honor of spring.
Perfect springtime movie.
It's a perfect springtime movie. Here it is. Best of luck. Oh, and my computer's not working. That's my fault. Here it is again. Best of luck.
Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No. I am your father. Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
No! No!
Well, Lisa, do you care to venture a guess, or should I just tell you? It's a tough one.
You know, the tough part is it Empire Strikes Back or Revenge of the Jedi? I think it's the third one. Is the Revenge of the Jedi?
Well, what you're thinking is Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, you're mistaking it for Revenge of the Nerds,
I think. There you go.
But that, of course, is Empire Strikes Back.
It is Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah,
second. Okay.
It's technically episode 5 is what they call it.
Okay.
It's one of 9. There's 9 Star Wars movies.
Hey.
Have you seen them all?
I stopped after Jar Jar Binks.
A lot of people did.
Yeah.
A lot of people did. But I'll tell you what, if you would have stuck with it, they're pretty good. Yeah, like I really like the three new movies.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're pretty entertaining. I like what J.J. Abrams brought to the table. That was really, I love, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the
BB-8?
Name of that movie. No, yeah, BB-8's great. Those are great movies. Yeah. Awakening. What was that one called? Not The Awakening. It was, Force Awakens.
Okay.
Yes. What's funny about that movie, and I was watching some behind the scenes stuff with George Lucas, and he was saying that, you know, for everybody, that was like the big mysterious moment when it was revealed to Luke Skywalker, who was portrayed there by a severely overacting Mark Hamill. But we learned there that Darth Vader is his father, right? For anyone who hasn't seen it, spoiler alert, but Darth Vader is his father. Except in Germany, which they got very quickly, because apparently in German, Vader means father. And so, Dark Father. And so as they were watching the movie, like all of them were like, Darth Vader, Dark Father, like this, like that's where he got it. It's German. This is according to George Lucas. And I assume he knows his own script. And so he was saying that, yeah, it didn't have the same reveal quality when the movie debuted in Germany because, you know, they all speak their language.
True.
And so they would know. All right, let's get to it. We're going to talk about the news roundup now. And the news roundup is where we look back at all the other shows. We try to find their best snippets. Like, we listen to 3 hours of their show, and then we do our best to bring you a condensed version of that 3 hours. We boil it down to like a minute, minute 30, which is very doable, actually. You wouldn't think so, but it is. Seattle's Morning News. Dave Ross was talking to somebody about workplace incivility. I like this one. Sounds awkward. Let's hear about it.
First of all, how do you go about studying incivility?
Well, you know, it's a very interesting question because we did not know the answer to that not so long ago. So we conducted a long-term research study with our membership, which is about 330,000 global members, to help us really define what civility is. And more importantly, help us to define if what we were hearing anecdotally was actually on the rise in the workplace.
And in fact, you found that it was?
We found exactly that it was. As a matter of fact, when you look at the research, nearly two-thirds of U.S. workers told us that they'd experienced or witnessed incivility in their workplace within the past month.
Wow.
Additionally, yeah, I know. It's just incredible, these numbers with what we found here. Another third.
Is it incredible? I don't know if it's like super incredible. Work incivility. What is incivility? Can you tell me, Matt, what is incivility?
Being ill-mannered, rude, inconsiderate, disrespectful of others in general.
This is new. This is new to people.
Well, apparently it's on the rise.
It's on the rise. Okay. Well, we'll finish the clip and then we can talk about it.
A third of U.S. workers told us that they believe that workplace conflict is going to increase over the next 12 months.
Well, no wonder so many people want to.
Wouldn't it be funny if we started tracking this, like gas prices, like work incivility?
Incivility index. Yeah.
Yeah, like who cares?
Continue working from home.
I mean, but it's interesting. I'm interested.
So when we talk about incivility in the workplace, what form does it typically take? Is it language? Is it or pushing and shoving? What is it?
You know, we asked that question as well, and the members certainly told us what they thought there. It involved things like just the way you address others disrespectfully, interrupting, or even worse, silencing other people when they're speaking.
Do you guys feel silenced or interrupted when you're on the show?
It's just part of the
Matt,
job.
Matt, let me ask you another question. No, just kidding. I was interrupting. You think it's just part of the job?
Yeah, pretty much, because you can't always get it right. You know, there's a little bit of a delay.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
No, that's true. That's Lisa, what do you think about incivility at
work? As a woman who has been in the workplace for over 40 years, I have been interrupted, shut down, and shushed by a lot of men for many, many years.
Really?
So are we now finally seeing that extend to men? Are men finally experiencing this and now they're reporting it? That's what I want to know.
You think that's what's happening?
Absolutely.
You think these men who've had it so good for so long
yes.
are finally getting a little piece of their own medicine?
I do.
And they don't like how it tastes.
They don't.
And they need a spoonful of sugar to
That's
make it
right.
go down.
That's right.
What about the other way? I mean, if you're going to...
Well, maybe women are finally...
You brought sex into it, so I'm going to ask a question to you. Do you think that there's women who are uncivil toward men in the workplace?
Probably women feel more okay about perhaps speaking over interrupting men than we used to. It used to be you just know your place. You wear your little pussy bow at your neck and you smile and you...
Is that what women used to wear as bows?
Absolutely. We had our little ties and we had our jackets and we had to be because many times I was the only woman in the newsroom. I was the only woman employee at the radio station.
Well, there's a lot of different industries. Like the news industry, traditionally there was people watch Walter Cronkite and it wasn't until Barbara Walters came along, the people started going like, oh, okay, like there's maybe a different approach to this. People
How many women are on our sports station right now? Two.
Yeah. Well, but they're the most successful ones on
the
station.
That's two more than most sports
they're crushing
stations,
it.
Really.
You're right about that, except for the fact that
Stacey's like the most popular
She's fantastic.
Person
I'm not saying
in
she's
Seattle.
Not. I'm not saying she's not.
She's like well represented on the station. But yeah, I'm sorry that you had to deal with...
Many times I was Me Too'd and all of that, so...
Really?
I will take a breath and just go back and meditate for a while.
Well, I can tell you from my own personal experience, I have had a lot of people be uncivil to me at work.
Really?
And I have... I guess sometimes.
You?
Yeah, you're very kind to suggest that everybody would like me, but that's not the case.
But it's
sometimes
just
above
board.
I rub people
they do
wrong.
It on the air and on the text line.
Matt, you just cut me off and that was uncivil.
That was intentional.
Right here. I have uncivility. Is it uncivility or incivility?
Incivility.
Incivility. It's incivility at work. From Matt right here.
Insubordination.
Also, he didn't compliment my bow that I was wearing. Oh. I'm just kidding. I was making a joke about your bow you were talking about. I have had people at work who, it's interesting because you try to figure out, like, all right, how do you deal with people in the workplace? Because it's a very different setting. There's like a hierarchy, and then you have to, everybody's got different bosses. So like, we work in the newsroom here, but we've all got different bosses. Like, I report to a different person than you report to. Those two people report to different people then. And so you try to figure out, like, if you do have issues with somebody in the workplace, what's the best path forward to resolving that issue? Are you the kind of person who would prefer to deal with that person directly, or would you like to talk with their superior
first?
Yeah,
I'd rather take you out for a cup of coffee and talk about
it. Yeah, just try to find, like, let's find some common ground.
Absolutely.
Maybe it's a misunderstanding.
Yes.
It's often misunderstandings.
Yes.
Another thing I think is really common these days is, I think a lot of people just don't have the interpersonal skills to deal with these kinds of issues, especially in a city like Seattle, where we're known for our passive aggressiveness. So if there's something that rubs you the wrong way at work, you might take it out on that person, like, you know, like giving them kind of weird looks in the office, or you might not be as friendly, or just different little things that you do to, like, send that vibe their way, instead of just, like, burying the hatchet, putting it behind you. Which to me is, like, I tend to not get into a lot of it. I don't have a lot of issues with people at work because there's not many people at work when I'm around because we do the night show. But I have in the past, there was somebody who worked here, he no longer works here, and I'm not going to say his name because it would be awkward. Other people still know the guy. But he worked here and he was not a fan. He just didn't like what I was putting down. He was not picking up what I was putting down. And how you deal with those people, it's like you can extend yourself so much to try to, you know, figure out if you can bridge that gap. But then at a certain point, you're just like, I don't care. This person's got a problem, and that's okay with me that they have a problem.
Yeah.
Because we're all getting paid to be here. We're not, it's not, you know, obligatory. You don't have to be here. You don't have to put up with it. You could just be here and exist in your workplace. Like, we don't have to all be best friends.
No, but we should be civil to each other.
We should be civil to each other. But the older I'm getting, I'm not saying that, like, I love being in arguments with people. That's not what I'm saying at all. But the older I'm getting, the less I care if somebody else has an issue. Like, when I was in my 20s, I would have cared a lot because there was a lot at stake.
Yeah.
And now, I'll just get them fired.
Wow.
No, it's just, I don't know.
I'll get my resume refreshed.
No, Matt, you're fine. Yeah, but for other people, I mean, they try to keep the talent happy. I don't know. They call us talent, whatever.
Talent.
I don't know. It's weird. All right. G and Ursula, thinking about adopting a pet, count the cost before you take the plunge. Let's hear about that.
It's a real, real thing, right? It really costs a lot of money to keep a pet healthy, right? To have this pet. I mean, you're going to, whatever the pet might be, if it's a dog or if it's a cat, it's going to probably live for, you know, 14 to 18 years. If it's a dog, it's going to live anywhere from 10 to 15 years.
14.
Right?
Yeah.
So these things, to get the longevity, it really costs money. I know, Ursula, I know for a fact it costs you money when it comes to Scooter. For all the owners out here that are pet owners, it costs money. For my cats, it costs money. And so this is a topic that maybe needs to be talked about more, because be careful now of just going to get that. Oh, I'm just going to go get a cat. I'm going to go rescue. So there's a lot of, hey, come rescue. Come to the shelters. Come get these animals, right? Great. Awesome. But there's not a lot of conversation about the cost of these. So, Mickey, this is why this was good that you did this.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Lisa, what do you think about this? The cost of pet ownership.
Well, who doesn't know they cost money? I'm wondering who. I didn't hear Mickey's story, so I don't know what she was referencing.
Presumably people are not prepared for the cost that a pet.
Well, it costs a lot. I am investing in pet owner insurance since I've adopted Quincy, and I've only had him for about less than 2 months.
And when you say you're investing in pet owner insurance, you are actually, like, buying it?
I'm buying
a you are buying stock in pet owner insurance?
Yeah, I should be.
Because I did.
Oh, really?
I saw this coming.
Oh, really?
15 years ago, somebody did a story about pet owner insurance, and we had a family member who was just like, taking their dog to pet hospitals and to the veterinary clinic and all this stuff all of the time. And so my wife was like, you know, we got to buy his pet insurance. I just heard it came out. And so we did. We've done very well by it. We've been very lucky with that pet insurance. A lot of people buy pet insurance. It's like this massive growth industry.
For the very first time, and I've owned dogs for many, many years, this is the first time I've done it because the costs are outrageous for vet bills.
my grandma had this dog that she was given, and I think it was, I don't know if it was given as a curse to her or something, but she was given this little dog, and it was a, it was, what's the little Taco Bell dog? What's that
Chihuahua.
Dog? Chihuahua. It was a Chihuahua. Like a little, you know, little shaky dog. You know, they get like shivery and stuff because they don't have any hair or something. I don't know how Chihuahuas work. But anyway, it's a tiny dog. So my grandma gets this tiny dog, and she's an older lady. I mean, she's no longer with us, and neither is the dog. But my grandma's no longer with us. But at the time, she was clearly alive when she had this dog, and it was so sickly that she was going to the doc, the vet with it all of the time, like at least two or three times a month. It had all these expensive medications because it had all these problems. She was paying like $600 a month for all these dog issues.
Oh, my.
And, you know, when you get to be a certain age, you don't have all this extra money to be dumping into tiny little pets. Probably why somebody, like, you know, gave her, quote, gave her that nice dog. They probably realized what a headache this dog was going to be. So we as a family, we were all, like, trying to figure out, like, well, how do we figure out how to get rid of this dog for her? Because she's so attached to this thing. She just loves this dog, as we all get with our pets. But it reached this point of, like, diminishing returns. And, you know, we were like, all right, can we steal it? Can we get rid of the dog somehow?
No.
Can we tell her it ran away?
No.
Somebody back up too quickly when they go visit
no,
grandma?
No, you're making this up.
No, I mean, I wouldn't want to hit the dog, but if it happened to happen, then, you know, who knows? But and we didn't. We didn't. The dog ended up dying of old age. But it was a very expensive thing. It's very expensive to own a pet, or can be.
Can be.
And so people should watch out for that. But I'm with you. I'm surprised that they didn't already know that.
Yeah.
All right. We've reached the end of the news roundup, but we have two really good clips ahead. Lisa, can you hang around next segment and can you talk about news roundup stuff with us?
Yep.
Next, apparently Jack asked this question. He wants to know if it's okay to spank your kids. He's not a fan. So I want to listen to a clip of a guy who doesn't have kids explain why spanking kids is bad. We're going to get to that next, and then I'll tell you what I think. Because I got three boys. I got the fourth on the way. I'm one of three boys. I have an opinion about this. You're going to hear it when we come back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
What is this? What is this?
When it's spring in the Rockies.
Is this Gene Autry?
Yes, indeed.
Love it. So it's officially been spring now for, let's see, my math, 33 minus 6. That means 27 minutes. It's been spring for 27 minutes, guys. It's exciting. We love it. All right, let's get back to it. We're talking about the news roundup. This is a great song. Thank you, Matt, for finding us. Lisa is still with us, swaying her head to the nice Gene Autry song. Before the break, I teased that we're going to play the news roundup clip from the Jack and Spike show. And it looks like, I haven't heard this clip yet, but it looks like they are talking about how spanking is bad for your kids. They don't like spanking. Just correcting your kids. They don't think it's a good thing to lay your hands on your kids. So I want to hear about Jack Stein's opinion. He doesn't have any kids. I'm interested in this. I have kids. Are we going to differ? Are we going to agree? I don't know. I haven't heard the clip yet. I'll hear it with you guys.
My thought about this is that this is all well and good, but you could stave off the opioid crisis in the United States. You could kill it real fast.
How?
You pass a federal or a state law that says that it's illegal to strike your children, that it's illegal to hit your kids with any object. Spanking's illegal. It's 100%.
That, you think that would really?
Yes. Yeah. Because if you...
I'm going to pause here real fast. Is he being facetious? Or you think is he real?
No, he's researched this. He's read books about it. Yeah, he's
read books about it. Okay.
Look at the majority of opiate addicts. I told you about this before, but are you familiar with what an ACE score is?
And I don't mean to sound like I'm being unkind to Jack. Obviously, I like Jack. We may disagree on things, and that's okay. But let's hear more about this.
That's the amount of abuse or neglect a child experiences leads to their later decisions in life, right?
Yeah, I'm not trying to be didactic about it, but it's called it's the adverse childhood experience score. And almost every...
Matt, can you look up a definition for didactic and send it to me, please? Thank you.
The opiate addict that is on the streets has an ACE of 8 or 9. It only goes up to 10, okay?
Okay.
So when you strike children or when you hit children or whatever it is, they are something like 5 times more likely to become an opiate or a drug addict. Five times more likely.
That's horrific.
They are 10 times more likely to be divorced. I mean, the list on this data goes back to the 1970s, right? And it's been available for everybody for a very long time. My point about all of this is that right now we're treating the symptoms but not the causes. And the cause of almost all drug addiction, bad mom, bad dad, who chooses to hit or strike their children rather than take the time to chat with their child about their behavior.
Only problem with this plan of yours is it cures this for the next generation.
And I think that's my point.
I think you're spot on, but what do we do for this generation?
I'm saying we do this in conjunction.
Okay.
I think she's spot on. Do you guys, Lisa, what do you think about that? Do you agree that what he just said in that clip was, and again, I like Jack and Spike, they're nice guys. I disagree with them on this. He says all of drug addiction is caused by parents spanking their kids.
He said most, not all, is caused by parental.
I mean, kind of the same thing, right? Most drug addiction is caused by parental correction. Lisa, what do you think about that?
I think this is a difficult subject. I think it's a loaded subject. I have no children. I have paddled a couple of dogs who were being very, 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 very,
very
bad.
Very naughty, yeah.
And in that case, it helped, but it's not outright, you know, it's not beating. There's a difference between beating someone and a little smack on the bottom just to say, you know, not a good thing that you just did there.
This is an interesting topic and one that I've had this conversation many, many times. My wife, I come from a family, I had four kids in my family. I had an older sister who basically never did any wrong and was just a great child. And then, I mean, I'm sure she did things wrong, but as her younger brothers, we thought that she basically was the favorite child and did everything right. But I love my sister. We have a great relationship. All the kids get along great. It's not like we have any issues. But all that to say, my three brothers and I were a little different with my parents. And we were rambunctious. We did not listen well. We tended to find ourselves in wrestling situations all of the time. My mother, who's a stay-at-home mom, whose job it was to like cart us back and forth between school and practices and everything, while my dad worked, and he worked a lot because it's expensive to, you know, afford four kids.
Your dad worked outside the home.
Yeah, he worked outside the home, okay. Yes. And my mom worked inside the home.
There you go.
And boy, did she work. So when we would get in trouble growing up, if we got to like level two, level three, level four in trouble, and on a scale of 1 to 10, we would get things like, you know, we would have things would be taken away from us. We would be sent to our rooms. We'd have to sit on our bed, all the stuff, the timeouts, all that kind of stuff. If we got to a level 10 where we were just directly disobeying my mother and she could not control us, and any parent knows this, any person who owns a dog knows this. There's times where you have to control that animal. You have to control your kid because they're not seeing the repercussions of the choices that they're making. They might run into traffic. They just don't know the difference sometimes. They're not aware of the world. We're seeing it from 30,000 foot views that they're not seeing. So when we would get into bad situations, my mom would give us the ultimate atomic bomb threat, which was that when your dad gets home, you're going to get a spanking. That's the way that I was raised. Now, I was a kid of the 80s when things were a little different than they are now. In the 1980s, nobody even thought twice about spanking your kids. That was not an issue. People didn't care about it. It was encouraged to spank your kids. I turned out pretty good. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm a model citizen. I don't like to, you know, I sometimes I get into the HOV lane when it's just by myself. I know, I hate to admit that. Sometimes I'll drive in the tow lane when I'm not supposed to. But other than that, I have developed into a pretty well-functioning adult.
Do you spank your boys?
And then I had kids. I grew up being spanked. My wife was an only child. She's a girl. She'd lived a very different life than me and my three crazy brothers. And so when I had kids, I assumed that we would just be spanking our kids because that's how I was raised. I assumed we'd be spanking. And so when we finally had kids and when they finally got to the age where I was like, oh, they've done wrong. They're not listening to us. They're being very bad kids. We've told them 10 times and they're still not listening. Time for to get a SWAT on the behind. My wife was like, whoa, 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 whoa. We don't hit kids. We can't hit kids. And I was like, I have been raised my entire life that this is the ultimate thing that turns you around. So I don't disparage anybody who hits their kids. I mean, like, you shouldn't hit your kids and beat them. I understand parents who spank their kids. And I know the parents who spank their kids. I had this disagreement with Dory, actually. When I was on Dory's show, when I worked for Dory Monson, I was his producer for many years. Dory and I used to get in like big discussions about spanking your kids because it is a very loaded subject. Dory had three daughters.
Right.
They're very different than boys. It is just different. Matt, were you spanked when you were growing up?
I was. And probably to a later age than some. And what really was the frustrating
part about
it.
Are you a drug addict, Matt? No, you're not. You turned out okay.
I had to think about that.
No, you're not.
That was a little long.
Yeah, maybe I am.
That's why. All right, but I'm sorry to cut you off.
No. But
you were spanked as a kid, yes.
So yeah, so I was. And it wasn't rough or brutal. I was not beaten.
Yeah.
But what was I later found out was one of the main things that I got spanked for a lot turned out to be actually a learning disability. My parents didn't understand this, so they were punishing me for something that was literally a matter of how my brain was wired.
Sure.
And well, the risk of that, I know I'm not a parent, but the risk of that gives me a lot of pause.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. Now, here's the thing that I will say, and I don't think something that maybe Jack is accurately assessing. And again, I'm not trying to like say that he can't talk about this. He's welcome to have his opinions, but he doesn't have any kids. Sometimes, especially little boys, they require butting up against something where they know, okay, there is a sense memory here. There is something that I need to physically feel so that I don't touch the hot stove, so that I don't run crazy through the parking lot. Because little boys go nuts. They go nuts. Trust me, I got a lot of them. And when my parents always did it lovingly, they never did it in anger. They were always really calm about it. It would always be hours after the incident, so it wasn't like a reactionary thing like, oh, you did wrong, I'm going to start smacking you. My mom always said, all right, when your dad gets home later, you're going to get a paddle. And then my dad would come home. I would be, the anticipation of it was way worse than what was actually happening. Yeah. And then my dad would say, all right, Jake, come into my room. I'd sit on his bed. He'd say, now, do you understand why you're getting a paddle right now? And I would say, because I disobeyed mom, or I said such and such, or whatever it was. I was not listening. And then he would say, that's right. And then I would have to get a paddle. And then sometimes when I was a little kid, you're hurt, your feelings are very hurt. You might be in tears. You might feel like, oh, this is the worst thing in the world. I've displeased my parents. My dad would always finish by, he would give me a hug and he would say, I love you so much. And I want you to know that I'm doing this because I don't want you to make bad decisions when you grow up. And this is why I'm doing this.
Can I lend some food for thought here? That's just a
Please.
Question that I have.
Yes.
Okay. So let's see. Okay. You spank your kids. What is another scenario in life, in adulthood, or even with their own siblings,
sure.
that is allowable to be solved in the same way?
Jail. Jail is the adult equivalent of getting spanked. It's something that you don't want to happen, that happens to you, that somebody else forces on you, that's no fun. That's
but
the whole point
I'm
of spanking kids.
I'm talking about solving the problem with any form of violence. Do you allow your kids to hit siblings? Do you allow people to get into bar fights?
I disagree, Matt, that spanking is violence.
But I'm saying kids learn things from the way that they're raised. And if they pick up on the idea that there are situations where it is allowable to do something like that to another person,
sure.
it could go very wrong.
Yeah, which is why we always tell our kids you're not allowed to hit other people.
But your parents are allowed to hit you.
Spanking, not hitting. No, well, we're not talking about
it
beating.
It is an application of force upon someone's body.
There is many applications of force in life. Police sometimes have to detain criminals who don't want to be detained. Literally, they will body slam them onto the ground. We see videos all the time of this happening. These are people who have not learned the lesson that you're supposed to listen to authority, which is what you're trying to instill in your children. You're trying to make them grow into responsible adults. So, all that to say, this is something that my parents did. But as I have become a parent, because my wife didn't spank, my hands are tied. Like, so we don't spank our kids in very, very severe situations where they are literally losing their mind, as kids do sometimes. We have spanked them. I don't regret it because they learned their lesson. I did the same thing that my dad did. I tried to say to them, you know, hey, I love you. I'm not doing this because I'm angry at you. I'm doing this because I need you to learn this lesson so I don't have to do this again. A lot of you on the text line agree. A lot of you on the text line disagree, and I'm totally fine with that. People can come about this in different ways. I don't think it's always child abuse, and I think saying that it's always child abuse or that every person who becomes addicted to drugs had spanking parents, I haven't read those books, so I can't really comment on that. But I know that there's lots of kids who grew up to be just fine who got spanked, and I'm one of them. All right, we got a lot more coming up on the show. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Man, this hour went fast. Thank you guys so much for all the text messages on the text line. We really appreciate that. To be part of the show, 888-973-5476 if you guys want to get in on this conversation. We were just talking about spanking, and you know the nice thing is, Matt, you and I might disagree on spanking. Lisa and you might disagree. Lisa and me might disagree. But the nice thing is that we all are still friends. And that's the great thing about this show. It's like we all just, this is a safe place where it's all we can have discussions. We can talk about snarky coworkers when they're not here. We can make fun of them. That's the nice thing about this show. All right. Very quickly, before we get out of here, before the end of the hour here, we have a whole nother hour, by the way. So don't want to miss 9 p.m. hour. It's going to be a lot of fun. Very, very quickly, I have some audio to play for you if I can find it here very quick. Where is this? All right, Joe Biden. What's Joe Biden been up to? Let's talk a little bit of politics. You guys want to do politics real fast? Fascinating. Joe Biden was recently speaking with the Prime Minister of Ireland, and they were talking about the history of the Irish people in America. This is all for St. Paddy's Day, obviously, which was Sunday. And while he was speaking, he was talking about opposing the Russian war in Ukraine. At the end of this very quick clip, he asked the audience to clap. Now, it reminded me of something else that I find really funny about politicians, so I'm going to get to that in just a second. But here's the clip from Biden.
Ireland now is one of the top 10 investors in the United States economy, and our country stand proudly for liberty and against tyranny. We stand together and oppose Russia's brutal war of aggression in Ukraine. You can clap for that, please.
So you hear him say there, he says, you can clap for that, which reminded me that was just a way to segue over to this, which I thought was funny. Do you guys remember when Jeb Bush was running for president? Remember, what was his slogan? Oh, it was something funny. It was like, get Jeb or something like that. I don't think that was it. But it was Jeb Bush 2016, and he was giving a speech. The audience was, I don't know, they were lulled into sleep or something. They were not loving it. And so he says, please clap. What's funny is just these little moments that stand out that then become what these politicians are kind of known for, which is hilarious. This is Jeb Bush.
I think the next president needs to be a lot quieter, but send a signal that we're prepared to act in the national security interests of this country to get back in the business of creating a more peaceful world. Please clap.
Please clap. And Matt says, Matt looked it up. What was it, Matt? What was his slogan?
Jeb can fix it.
Jeb can fix it. All right. It's not super catchy. I don't know. I guess that's why it didn't take with the audience. This was another funny one. These are just all old political things that I remembered. These are what they ended up being defined by. It's so funny because in this like modern age of television, this is what they look. This is what everybody remembers about. This is Senator Marco Rubio. He was giving the Republican response to Obama's State of the Union in 2013, and he had the infamous water sip. His mouth is like drying up and he can't speak. And so he kept trying to take a drink of water.
On foreign policy, America continues to be indispensable to the goal of global liberty, property, and safeguarding human rights. The world is a better place when America is the strongest nation on earth. But we can't remain powerful if we don't have an economy that can afford it. In the short time that I've been here in Washington, nothing has frustrated me more than false choices like the one the president laid out tonight.
All right, now he's reaching and taking a sip of water. And
the choice isn't just between big government or big business. What we need is an accountable...
So he takes that sip of water, which everybody thought was funny. And then this is probably the all-time best. This one was very entertaining. This was Howard Dean. It's 2004. He's not doing well in the polls. In fact, he's just come in third. I forget which state this was in. And he has the infamous Howard Dean scream. Guard your ears.
You know something? You know something? If you had told us 1 year ago that we were going to come in third in Iowa, we would have given anything for that. And you know something? You know something? Not only are we going to New Hampshire, Tom Harkin, we're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. We're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House. Yeah!
That's my absolute favorite. And the audience, you could see it in their faces. The audience just went, well, he's done.
And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House. Yeah!
Ah! All right. I like those moments. So if you guys can think of any more, feel free to text me. I'll try to find them. All right. We got a lot more coming up on the show. Next hour, it's the 9 o'clock hour. And in the 9 o'clock hour, all my bosses have gone to sleep. Because they go to bed early, which means that we can do whatever we want. When the cat's away, the mice will play. Isn't that, that's stupid. I don't know, that's a dumb way to say it. I apologize. I don't even know what that impression was of. I can't even tell you. I just said it. Now I regret it. But we got a lot more coming up next hour, so do stick around. It's going to be fun. We're going to finish playing those Elon Musk clips, too. That was a great interview that happened with Don Lemon. It wasn't great because it was a great interview. It was great because it was awkward. We're going to play you all the awkward cuts when we come back here on Cairo Nights.